Welcome to the Victorious Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Arabella Hill, and today we're going to be talking about getting kids to listen. So if you want help getting your kids to listen, this podcast episode is for you. Let's get into it. So getting kids to listen. Have you ever wondered how you get your kids to listen to you without expending all of your mental and physical energy? Imagine asking your child to pick up their toys and they do it without arguing back or making excuses. That's a dream, right? Well, it's possible. If you are struggling in this area, I totally understand where you are at. For the longest time, I wish for the day where I didn't have to go through turmoil just to get my son to listen to me. Look, I'm the type of person who constantly searches for new methods to make life easier. And being scientific-minded, I search for a strategy, but I couldn't find anything effective. So this led me to develop my own. It worked with my son and with my students in the classroom. My son is now in his late teens, and tonight I asked him to wash the dishes, and he did. In fact, that's a regular thing every single night. I ask him to either to dry or wash, or can you just get the vacuum cleaner out, and he does it without arguing, without huffing and puffing, without, you know how teenagers can be. Well, this isn't just a one-off thing, and this is a reality I live because it was born from the formula that I developed. I trained this in him. It's a part of his life. It's a habit. That's why he doesn't go, oh, do I have to, Mom? Because he's used to it. He's been doing it ever since he was little. He's just doesn't know any different. So this is the formula I'm going to teach you today in this episode, but a little bit more about my formula. My formula worked so well in my classroom, so it didn't just work at home with my son. It worked really well in my classroom as well because I had a lot of the kids like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this work. And I used the same formula on them that my teaching company would actually send me the really tough kids because I had a good way of turning so-called hard to teach kids into students who excelled. And believe me, I had some really hard to teach kids who had been through a lot of different teachers, didn't want to listen, and my formula worked on them as well. Now, the good news is that anyone can do this if and only if you're willing to stick at it, because it's not going to happen overnight. It's not something you do once and boom, you get results. It's building habits, and habits take time. In fact, Dr. Caroline Leaf says, and she is a neuropsychologist and has a lot of books about epigenetics and things and how to retrain your brain, that it takes about 21 days to make or break a habit. And Dr. Bruce Lipton, who talks about epigenetics and the way the brain works and neuropsychology, also reiterates that about 21 days, so that's about 3 weeks. So if you have a bad habit that you want to break, you're not going to break it after one or two times or even a week. It's going to take 21 days. That starts rewiring your brain, creating new neuropathways to stick to a new habit. And then after about 62 days, your brain is then regulated to do it on a regular basis without really thinking about it. It's not so hard. But breaking or starting a new habit, building something in your children, is always difficult when you first did it. But if you are willing to stick at it, you will reap the rewards. It's like anything in life, nothing worth having comes easy and simple. If it's too easy, if it's too simple, it probably won't last very long. We need to go through things in life. It's good for our brains to go through struggle because our brains are wired to behave differently when we push through struggle, when we push through adversity, and our brains reward us for doing that. And our behavior is more long-term and it's change. And then we see the reward of growth within ourselves. So if you are willing to stick at it, I'm going to give you this formula and it will work if you stick at it, if you practice it. Will you be perfect at it first? Of course not. Keep going and don't give up. That is the key. If I had given up so many times in my life, I would not be here now with this podcast with you today. I cannot tell you how many barriers have come along in my life that sought to destroy me so many times. In fact, when I was younger, there were so many times where I could have easily have died, literally. and I have pushed through so much adversity in my life, and I never gave up, and that's why I'm here today. So if you want the gold at the end of the rainbow, you have to stick at it consistently. Be motivated, find that self-motivation within yourself. And sometimes we need to hit rock bottom and think, you know what, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this life anymore. I don't want be yelling at my kids every day. I don't want this tension in my house. That right there should be motivation enough for you to stick at something and really make the change that you need. Because getting your kids to listen to you can be a reality. And today, I'm going to teach it to you. So let's talk about the formula I've been developing that helps you get your message across to your kids and gets them to listen to you. It's also a formula for setting consequences that relate to the situation. Like with anything, be consistent, you'll see results. Instead of stating what you want them to do like this, please clean your room, or clean your room now. Okay, so there's several ways you can do it. You can go and clean your room now. It's a mess. What are you doing? We don't live in a trash dump. Go clean your room now. Or you could say, oh, please clean your room. Look, it's a mess. Instead of doing either one or the other, make your request like this. You might want a notepad and a pen to write this down. It may sound a little complicated at first, but I'm going to explain it to you. So listen carefully. Request plus conditions. So request, I want you to clean your room, plus conditions. Here are the conditions under which I am making my request, plus external benefits. This is how my request benefits you personally, and internal positive outcomes. This is how my request benefits you externally and internally. We need both, not just external benefits, not just internal. We need to reiterate both the external and internal outcomes to our request, plus time sensitive consequences if the request is not adhered to, plus understanding. I'm going to break this down to you. It can look something like this. So request plus conditions, plus external, internal benefits and outcomes, plus time-sensitive consequences, plus understanding. It will look like this. I want you to clean your room, request, without complaining within the next hour, condition. So I'll repeat that again. My request is, I want you to clean your room. The condition under which I am making my request is, without complaining and within the next hour, request plus condition. Then you can play games, benefit, external benefit. Now, what is the internal benefit? You'll sleep better and feel cleaner and more positive with a cleaner room. So you'll sleep better and feel better with a cleaner room. That's internal positive outcome. So I'm going to repeat that again. Request, I want you to clean your room. Condition, without complaining within the next hour. Benefit externally, then you can play games. Benefit internally, you will sleep better and feel better with a cleaner room. Now we're going to go on to the time sensitive consequences. However, if you don't do as I've asked, you will not be allowed to play games, time frame plus consequences. You will not be allowed to play games today. You will not be able to go on your iPad today. You will not be able to go hang out with your friends today. Time frame and consequences. It's today. It's not for the rest of the week. It's not for the next month. You're not grounded for the next month. You're not grounded for the next 3 days. This is what's going to happen today. Today, I want you to clean your room. Today, without complaining, without messing around, within the next hour, then you get this, play games. Then you will sleep better, you will feel better, it'll be better for you internally. However, if you don't do as I've asked, you will not reap the external benefits and you will not reap the internal benefits either. And I am going to follow through with the consequence. So when asking them to do something, it's important to make sure you have their attention so that the easiest way to do it is to get on their level and make sure they are looking you in the eye. So you're not barking orders from the top down. You are conversing with them in an authoritative manner. You're looking at them in their eyes, especially if they're little, especially if they're toddlers. You need to get down on their level and make sure they're looking you right in the eyes and make sure they're saying yes and they are understanding, because this is the last part of the formula, is understanding. There's no point in barking orders and saying this from the other side of the house. It's a conversational way of getting your children to listen and to understand. You must make sure they understand. So how do you do that? You ask them, do you understand what I said? If they say yes or no, then repeat anyway. So you understand what I said? Yes, Mom, I understand what you said. Okay, what did I just say to you? You need to hear that from them. Okay, what do I want you to do? Okay, Mom, I do understand you want me to clean my room without complaining in the next hour. Then you say to them, great. And what will happen if you do it without complaining? I will get to play games. That's right. And what will happen if you do complain? I won't get to play games. Do you want to play games today? The child will hopefully say yes. Okay, now go and clean your room without complaining within the next hour, and you can. You can tailor this to any age, especially teenagers. You can change the language, you know, the way that I just reiterated then was for smaller children, but for older children, say you go into your teenager's room and it looks like a bomb just hit off. So you go in there and say, look, I want you to clean your room. I want you to clean your room today. You've got time today. It's Saturday or whatever. I know that you have time. I want you to clean your room and use the same formula. I want you to do this. Under these conditions, you will reap this external benefit and this internal benefit. Here are the time-sensitive consequences if you don't do it. And I want you to tell me that you've understood my request, especially for teenagers, more than anything. How many times have I had my son saying, I didn't hear you, and he was looking right at me. So I make sure now more than ever, I get him to reiterate what it is that I've asked him to do. Sometimes with some kids, you need to write that down. You need to write that down and like slap it to the bedroom wall and say, that's what I want you to do. Now, please go and do it. We've agreed that this is what you're going to get. I want you to go and do that now. And if you don't, here are the consequences. So that way you aren't just telling them what you want. You're not just saying, hey, I'm the parent, I'm the authoritarian, I'm telling you what to do and you must respect me no matter what. You are telling them what you want and you are providing stipulations as to how you want it done and why you want it done in that time frame and in that manner. You're also reiterating the external and internal benefits of doing what you've asked and the clear consequences for not doing it. This puts the end result in their hands. Now they are responsible for what happens next, and make sure that you make them aware of that. Now that I've asked you to do that, now you've understood, now you are responsible for the consequences. If you do what I ask, positive consequences. If you don't do what I ask, you won't reap the external benefits and internal benefits from doing this. It makes it so much easier on you, because all you have to do on the front end is just put a little bit more work in, but you reap so much more on the back end because you won't have to think of consequences. The consequences are natural. They match the requirements. You've already outlined them at the beginning of the conversation. You won't have to yell or scream if they don't do it. They just reap the consequences. That's it. And if they yell and get fussy, you just maintain your cool. Be stoic. Don't let them push you over the edge. Just say, look, we have this conversation. This is what we agreed on. This is what you said you'd do. You didn't do it. And now here are the consequences. No ifs, ands, or buts. this is what we've agreed to, and now this is what's going to happen. And no matter what, they will eventually learn that you are a person of your word. If you break down, oh, why are you yelling at me? Why are you doing this to me? Or, oh, you always do this and you never listen. You get into that kind of mentality, you've lost all of your authority and any of the leverage you had in the beginning. You need to be stoic. This is what I want you to do. This is when I want you to do it. This is why. Internal, external, and benefits. These are the consequences. Do I have your understanding? Great, go do it. So you won't have to yell, although you may have to repeat yourself depending on the child. If you have a younger child, that's why I say write it down. It's good to have like little tick lists. I know when I was younger, and I still do that now, I write lists of everything. My son's not a list person. Your child may or may not be more of a visual learner. You may need to write it down for them. But make sure that they understand. So if you're having to ask more than three times, the deal is off. If you have to go in there and remind them at the 15-minute mark, and you have to do it like more than a couple of times, make sure you say that at the beginning. Say, look, if I have to come in and repeat myself to you a couple of times within the next hour, the deal's off. You're going to reap the consequences. You won't get to play games even before the hour is up. Okay, but make sure you tell them that at the beginning. Consequences that come out of the blue without warning do not work because it confuses them about the rules. Once children have a well-set routine of rules, like clean your room because of this, and you follow this formula and you do it enough and you do it consistently with everything day in, day out, your children's brain will rewire to know that, hey, mom, dad, means business. They said do this. This is what's going to happen. I don't want to reap external negative consequences. Yes, I do want to feel better. And when they've actually done it, when they've actually go and clean their room, go in and reiterate to them the positive consequences. Well done. You get to do more games today. Don't you feel better? Doesn't it feel better in here? Because I know it smells better in here. Don't you want to feel better? Well, this is how you do. You know, when you have a dirty room, it smells. You don't want to wake up in the morning in a stinky room and you can't find your things. Really reiterate to them, especially the internal consequences, because we as humans only really become truly motivated when it's internally beneficial to us. When we're just having someone bark orders from the outside, it automatically puts the brain into flight and fight mode. Either your children is going to fight you or they're going to flight and get really anxious and cower or walk away. That's not the kind of mode that breeds success. That's the war kind of bare bones survival kind of mode. So we want to be able to internally and externally motivate our children, and we do that by setting out this formula just as I've said it and being routinely consistent with it day in, day out. Like I said, it works on older kids too, but with older kids, change the language to suit their age, and you probably won't have to repeat or demonstrate as much once they get used to it. Very rarely do I have to ask my son several times to do something. I usually ask him once, and if he's in the middle of something, I said, look, I'll be there in a minute, and when I'm finished, I'll do it, and I may have to just say, hey, are you finished yet? Yes, I'm coming, I remember. Because that's what happens when you train this in within your children, and he always does it. The formula is an empowering formula. If they don't follow the rules, the deal's off. That's it. It's like anything in life. If they went out to a job and the employer said, hey, I want you to do this. Here are the external benefits you get paid. Here are the conditions I want you to do this under. And if you don't do it, you're fired. At the end of the day, that is what happens in the real world. So we need to start demonstrating that to our children as early as possible so they can get used to it. You know, it's like with anything, stick to the road rules. When you're driving, you go over the speed limit, there are consequences. There are consequences for everything in life. And this teaches them how to find the internal and external benefits to them. It helps them in the future to decide what behaviors to engage in, what things to do, because they will find out, is this going to be externally and internally beneficial to me? Yes or no? Am I doing the right thing here? It helps them on a lot of different levels. So again, before I finish this podcast, if they throw tantrums, let them own the behavior. Do not get sucked into it. Stick to your guns. Eventually, once they know that you are not going to budge and your requests of them are fair and reasonable, they will choose the path of least resistance. One last thing is to be consistent with rewards too. Don't promise something that you won't make good on, or the consequences for not following rules won't work either. If you say this is your external benefit, this is your external reward, make sure you can provide it no matter what. This demonstrates that you are a person of your word both ways, with rewards and consequences for not following rules. And don't make the reward too much. Don't say, hey, I'm gonna go take you to like the theme park and it's really expensive just because you cleaned your room once. Of course not. The rewards need to be natural just as the consequences. So the reward internally may not be monetary, but you don't wake up to a stinky room the next morning. That's fantastic, isn't it? That is a good reward right there. An external reward? Okay, well, what is a privilege in the house and what is a right? Don't reward them with something that's just a right. Reward them with something that's just a privilege and they have to ask you permission for, like, can I watch an extra episode of Netflix or whatever it is. That can be the reward, just a natural reward. Doesn't have to be anything over the top. Don't make the rewards over the top, because then you've got nowhere left to go after that. Then each thing they do, you have to make bigger and bigger rewards until they outprice you and you just can't do it anymore. So make the rewards natural, make the consequences natural, stick to your guns, don't let them push you over the edge, don't get into that why are you doing this to me mentality if they yell and scream at you. Be stoic, stand your ground. The consequences are on them once you do the work at the front end, and you will never have to yell or scream at your children, and eventually they will know that you mean business and they will take the path of least resistance, and that's listening to your request, because they will understand it's fair and reasonable and there's ample rewards in doing so. I hope this has helped. Put it into action. Drop a comment on my Facebook page. It's at Victorious Parenting, or visit my website, www.victoriousparenting.com, for all my parenting resources. I have my blog, a whole bunch of other stuff on there. Go check it out now, and I'll see you in the next podcast.
If you would like access to more parenting resources and a big supportive community, I'd like to invite you to our Facebook group, Victorious Parenting. I give regular content every single day, and we have a unit section where you can find all the best content. There are some short form and long form content in there, like the Grey Rock Method and how to deal with sibling rivalry. And as well, you'll get to be a part of a great big community of parents who are becoming victorious just like you. We'd love to have you join us in Victorious Parenting.